What is good, everyone? That is right. We are back. Little bit of a layover. The new studio, it's constructed. It's built. We're back in the lab. Oh, so excited. Welcome to Ball Don't Lie Australia, episode 72. My name is Dan Dinellan. Joining me, not across from me, but sort of next to me. We're a bit closer than usual, but I like it. It's comfortable.
Well, way to get weird early.
And that is, of course, Mel Crawford.
The big dog. How we doing, buddy?
Well, if you can't tell by my voice, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
So excited to be in this new studio. Saw the photo up on the socials there, that freshly signed Cadee jersey draped on the table there.
Friend of the show.
Oh, great friend of the show. Don't know, after he torched our Capitals on the weekend, but
look, I still
you can't stop greatness.
I still went and got the jersey signed afterwards, so clearly I was okay with it.
Great guy, Jace Cadee. Look, guys, what we're going to be doing as we come back on the airwaves, we're going to have a look at the NBL and WNBL free agency, just a few of the bigger name signings there. We're not going to break down every single signing or re-signing for that matter. We're then going to have a look at the NBA finals and that roller coaster ride that it's been for Mel, of course, so far. And
yeah.
As we record, there's one or two games remaining. So
One to two.
We'll see how that goes. After that, we'll be joined by Brisbane Bullets player and NBL 1 North superstar with the Brisbane Capitals, Max MacKinnon, will be joining the show as our first official guest in the new studio. So that's exciting stuff, Mel.
Definitely is. Yeah, I was so excited about it. I tried to send a fax earlier just saying we're back. Turns out where I work doesn't actually have a fax machine.
1995 thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that bubble's burst, unfortunately.
After we catch up with Max, we'll round things out just by diving into round 7 of the NBL 1 North. Breakdown of our Capitals games. They both had double headers, the men and women. And then, you know, just some standout stats from across the league that round. So lots to look forward to. But we'll kick things off now with the NBL free agency period that's going on at the moment. And look, I thought we'd bring up an old but new segment for you. So this is one known that you created called the Dang. We're now going to call this the Dang.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's got you feeling blue, buddy?
Well, he's gone back to the Hawks, hasn't he?
Hasn't he? Yeah. Great pickup for the Hawks. I mean, you know, already added Lowe Bullock. So that's going to be a heck of a defensive team. Like Sam Froehlich there as well, obviously. And they'll keep adding core pieces. Of course, new but old coach, you know, someone familiar, but not Gorge on the sidelines. So it'll be interesting to see with this Hawks team how they're shaping up to look. They're going to be very athletic, very defensive minded. So they're going to be an exciting team to watch. And next one's a big signing in every sense of the word, because we've seen this player carving it up here in NBL 1. With USC Rip, Kuat Noy, he's heading south, going from Cairns to the Kings. So, look, adding more depth at, you know, the bigger positions down there for Sydney.
Adding more bulk, that's for sure.
Oh, geez. I mean,
you see him play live and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily translate it. And it's like, ooh, that's a big boy.
Yeah, and look, I believe Xavier Cooks's extension has those, you know, out clauses if he was to jump to the NBA or something like that. And Noy can provide, you know, those minutes. He's more than capable. So I think that's a great addition for the Kings to just build on their championship season. So
as they try and go back signing to back.
Yep. Cam Glidden, moving teams again. So, after his stint with Phoenix here, he's jumping the little ditch over to New Zealand. Bit of an interesting move here. looking to shore up that sort of 2-3 position that the Breakers seem to be lacking this year. They had some ball handlers. They had some handy bigs, but they didn't quite have someone on the wing like a sharpshooter. I mean, Hugo, you know, we used to say was best on or best off. But I think Glidden can give him that, you know, consistent shooter out there who I think they need a player like that. And I do like this signing from the Breakers.
And look, you know the old saying, mate, new coach, new 2-3, new, you know, 2-3 player. You know, it's not a catchy saying, but it often actually turns out.
Also for the Breakers, they've added their next star, another French player. We're going to go with Ryan.
Sure.
Or Ryan.
I'll meet you in the middle with Ryan. Ryan yep. Rupert.
Yeah. So, look, next star's locked in. Should be exciting. Of course, they had Usman Deng flying around the court this year, looking to be quite a, in the first round of the draft for sure. So, he won't be coming back. look, before we get to one of the big double signing, before we get to that one, I just saw today Corey Webster is back in the league and he's going to be linking up with Mr. Cotton out west.
Oh.
And so for backcourts around the league, good luck. Because that is two absolute certified buckets. And, you know, I'm not going to dive into anything about the Websters and their departures from the Breakers and whatnot, but let's look at the player that Perth are getting here. And this is a guy that can get his own shot. He can play within a team structure, can be your leading scorer if you need it. So to add that along with Bryce and, you know, the possibility of keeping Vic Law there as well.
Was it Wagstaff coming back for season 14, I think it was?
You need those vets. Mm. Every championship team has a vet. You got to. So good signing out there for Perth, doing great business as usual. Again, likely not going to be sixth on our board this upcoming season.
No, but, you know, they played into it last year. Like, you know, made us look...
All right, let's do this double signing. There was rumors that if one went somewhere, the other was going to follow, and that's exactly what happened. Unfortunately, it's not here in Brisbane, but Antonius Cleveland and Robert Franks are off to join the Adelaide 36ers. And to me, I know it's recency stuff, and it could be overreacting, but to me, that just vaults them easily to top four, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to add that to the core that they've already got there, I mean, that team's going to be tough. I mean, you've got Mitch McCarron running the show, obviously. You've got Big Johnson in the middle. Of course, we covered in our last pod, Drimmick heading down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a team that they're going to be tough. They're going to be deep. They're looking like real big winners of this offseason to me. They're constructing something special.
Yeah, CJ Britton's just going to be licking his lips at this.
Oh, and yeah, so look, Sixers fans, get on those memberships early because they will
sell.
Yeah. All right, Bullets news, Mal. What's going on? Wanted to sort of separate the league and our team, the Bullets. What's happening with us?
Well, we've got a Bullet coming back. You know, we had Dang signing back with the Hawks, and we've got Harry Froehling returning after a season away down with Gorge and the Hawks.
Yeah, got sick of his brother.
Yeah, well, look, I get it. You know,
yeah,
you know, we've got brothers. I understand.
Maybe Sam ate Harry's leftovers one night, and he just had enough. That was it.
Look, as someone with a few brothers, sometimes, yes, it can be that petty. it can be. But, yeah, he's looking to return. Looking to return strong after, you know, pretty strong start to the season last year with the Hawks. faded away a little bit towards the end, but other players also stepped up.
Had that one game where he hit, like, I think it was 1,062 threes or something in that one game.
Yeah, it was genuinely ridiculous for a guard, let alone for a big bloke who comes off the bench. So,
we've also got the son of a former Bullets import, so DJ Mitchell, who is looking like a pretty exciting prospect. And I know it's probably not a big name for, you know, most people out there, but this is a 6'8" wing who went to Wake Forest for 2 years. All right. Do you know any other players who went to Wake Forest, Mel?
Oh, there's a couple. Who am I thinking of? Is it CP or D Wade?
Yeah, CP.
Yep.
Yep. And there's also a big guy.
Timmy D?
Yeah, yeah.
Timmy D, yeah.
So, look, pretty decent system out there. Spent 2 years there. A couple years at Santa Clara as well. And has just recently played in the Netherlands, averaging 16 points and 8 rebounds. So, I think there's a lot to be excited about with this signing, given where he's been and what he's done. You know, it's not a name that jumps off the page at you necessarily, you know, as an established NBL star, but you look at this resume and you know, his attributes being that 6'8 wing, there could be something there. So I'm excited for this signing. I really look forward to it. Just like, it's kind of like the Rob Frank signing, you know, like you just look at the signing, look at the player and you think, okay, well, there's something to work with there, with the attributes and what they have. So we'll see how we go. And, of course, there was one more, Mal.
Yeah, a certain, you know, Gold Coast roller. Yeah.
Had a great game on the weekend, this
He did. Man. He did. It was one of those games where it almost felt like there was moments where him and Kadee just shared the load. Like, and both of them felt, you know, perfectly comfortable in doing that. That's Tanner Krebs.
Well, they're both top 10 scorers in the league, I believe. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it just felt like at times they were sharing the team.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You
know, they'd take on that role of floor general, and there was no there was no dip for the Rollers in that sense. So, but he'll be coming back for a 1 year extension. So looking to
Welcome back.
He got a lot of good minutes last year, and you know they were a little bit inconsistent at times, but obviously got enough faith to get the extension. So
yeah, with Drim gone, I mean, there's some minutes to be had at that position.
Exactly, but there were definitely times when we saw a little bit closer to NBL 1 Tanner Krebs. So,
all right, well, that's the NBL news that we'll be covering for this week. Again, next week, if there's more news, hopefully for the Bullets particularly, but if any team, we'll be trying to cover that as much as possible. In the WNBL, look, just a few like high-key signings there that I'd like to point out. We've been hashtag league this person for a while. She's been killing it over in Russia, absolutely killing the NBL 1 North for 2 seasons now. That's Tiana Mungakahia, who is going to go link up with Northside Wizards teammate Shyla Hill down with the Sydney Flames in the next WNBL season. So,
yeah,
just like I said with that Perth backcourt, WNBL backcourts, watch out. because there's no scout on both of these women because they are incredible.
And they're going to have a whole NBL 1 season, you know, of chemistry behind them as well. And I don't think it comes as any there was definitely a correlation between this announcement and the fact that Shane Hill had come up and watched the Northside Wizards at home just a day or two before. There was definitely a correlation between those two.
I mean,
events.
He didn't need to come up to confirm. Like, we could have told him. Tiana is incredible. Another big one and good friend of the show here who is also we'll get to her a bit later, but I would almost argue is front runner for MVP of the NBL 1 North at the moment. And that's Michaela Roof, who's playing with Logan, of course. And Michaela is heading up to Townsville to link up with other friend of the show there, Steph Reed. Other gun up there, Courtney Woods as well. And that Townsville team, with the addition of Roof, is going to be tough now.
It definitely is. She's, as you say, she's already having herself quite the NBL one season.
Oh.
So
we'll be talking about that later, don't you worry.
Yeah, and look, just a little side note. It looks like the sort of that Caps core might be finally coming apart. There's been a couple of little, coaches gone, Michaela Roof, a couple of other, people not necessarily signing with the Caps, at least straight away, and whispers of, them looking elsewhere. So might be a new core for Canberra next year. But we also had one Sammy Whitcomb returning for the Wildcats. Friend of the show and, of course...
The Lynx?
Lynx. I always get those two mixed up.
It's the right city.
Yeah, right. Returning for the Lynx and, as I said, friend of the show, Opal's captain. And look, Perth, they're, with what they still have on the board, still looking fairly dangerous so far. So definitely still watch this space, but... Yeah, that's the majority of the really big signing so far, I think, mate, in the WNBL.
Yeah, so just like the NBL, obviously there are other players moving and re-signing, but we don't need to go through every single one of them. But that's a wrap on our local stuff. Heading to the NBA playoffs. Now, unfortunately, because we're constructing this new studio, we sort of didn't cover the first few games of the finals there. Look, essentially I've written down, we'll cover games 1 to 3 pretty quick here, I guess. We don't want to go in depth of 5 games and bore everyone, but I've written down that the Warriors just dominated every third quarter and actually a lot of the quarters, but Boston just had the depth and their defense was suffocating, and that gave them the 2-1 lead to start the series there.
Yeah, they also came out and shot the absolute lights out, which always helps in that first game. But yeah, Boston, it's built on that defense. And, they were able to do enough, even with the amount of early in the series, the amount of space that Curry was given.
Mm.
Like they were still able to get it done early. Great start, 2-1, pretty happy with the way things, were going at that point. And it's one of those things. The whole experience has been, up and down and roller coaster, but halfway through the season, we never expected this, and I sat on the show and right at the start of the season and sort of said, anything above conference finals, yeehaw. And we've had some games and we're still in it. We're not out, but she's been a bit of a roller coaster. The way we've been, especially the way Boston's been living and dying on that 3-ball sometimes.
Well, we come to game 4. It's 2-1 to Boston. Game 4's in Boston. Mm-hmm. Beantown's bumping, everyone's feeling good. Pretty close first half there, and Boston goes into halftime with the lead, and then Steph Curry happens to the tune of 43 points, 7 of 14 from deep in this one, with 10 rebounds as well. Not to be outdone by our former number one pick Andrew Wiggins with 16 rebounds, and it was really just a gut punch from Steph, wasn't it, in game 4. And you just got to appreciate greatness when it happens, because this is a game 4 on the road, pretty much a must win for Golden State. And he delivered on that biggest stage, biggest moment for his team.
Look, it was, there was one point for me. Obviously, Curry had a great game. Not going to take that away from him. He really did. And
I'm happy to argue if you want.
No, that's okay. When his team needed him, he was there. There was one foul review, and I don't know what more Horford had to do. Like, he went straight up with his body, like arms were coming over, but the arms never contacted him. Curry literally drove, you know, jumped into him in the air. You know, his arms never touched him. They went for the referral, sent it upstairs, and it came back as confirmed. And it's like, what did Horford have to do? Like, he jumped straight up in the air and he didn't, you know, he wasn't forcing the contact. Curry was. It's like, and that was the point when the game was gone. At that point, we just didn't recover. And that was a little bit annoying, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, they were already ahead by that point. It wasn't as if, you know, things were, you know, all tied up, or we were ahead and that was the turning point, or anything silly like that. It was just one of those moments of, does he get every call? Or it's like, well, there's that superstar stuff, I suppose. But that was annoying. But the whole game from Curry was good to watch.
You know what, Mel? I'm a nice guy. I'll give you those 2 points back. So 8 point loss instead of 10. There you go.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
You feel better?
Not so much, no.
All right, game five, heading back to the Chase Center. Mm-hmm. I know I couldn't work out what the name was last time. I do know now after a few finals games. It's the Chase Center, not the Oracle.
Yeah, it's written in huge letters on the roof.
And again, this was sort of a flip on the series, but they just weren't able to go on with it. Golden State came out with the gut punch. It was actually Boston that had the blistering third quarter there. But then Golden State, they just steadied the ship in the fourth, got the job done, despite, I would argue, one of, if not the worst performance of Steph Curry's career in the finals. You know, 7 of 22 from the field, 0 of 9 from 3, first time in his career, playoff career without a 3. Look, he looked after the ball, but his shooting was terrible.
That's because he was shut down, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just was not working for him. This was the Andrew Wiggins game to the tune of 26 and 13. You know, I would say outplayed Jason Tatum in this one. Not across the series, of course, but in this particular game, Andrew Wiggins, for the whole game, was the best player on the court. And you can't take it away from him. I'm happy to argue.
Look, you know, let me break down the game the way I saw it.
Through Boston glasses.
Boston glasses, yep. Boston came out, played good D, could not hit a shot to absolutely save themselves, but their defense kept them in it. That's fine. That's how their team is built. You know, their defense will keep them in games when their offense doesn't quite.
Hey, Golden State went 9 of 40 from deep. It's not like they shot the lights out.
Yeah, again, defense. but we started out very cold. Defense was good. You know, we didn't let the Warriors get too far ahead in that sense. We're able to stay connected enough. We had as soon as halftime ended and second half started, we just came out and stole the ball. Again, aggressive defense that actually led to layups and baskets, and then we got on a roll and the three started to drop and everything was starting to work. And then towards the end of the game, we tried to three-point our way out of it. We still played very good defense on Steph Curry. You know, enough to get in his way, enough to make him look for those extra long threes, you know. And you know, he wasn't able to even hit one, which was, I think it was 130-something playoff games in a row or
132,
something.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah, something absolutely ridiculous. Like, not human. Mm. But, and, yeah, look, in the end, we lost. We're outplayed when it mattered. Wiggins had a big part of that. I'd hate to be the team that traded that guy away, but anyway.
Which one?
Well, exactly, one of. But, you know, for mind, you know, yes, we lost it. Warriors won. You know, hats off to them. I think, realistically, we need to be less, as in Boston, needs to be less focused late in games on threes and being aggressive at the right time. Like, not... dribbling into a one-on-three situation aggressively. You know, if you're Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, you know, you're good, but one-on-three is a stretch. And if there's three players right there, someone else has to be open. You know, kick that ball around. But if, you know, if you've got the mismatch and there's only one help defender there, go for it. That's where your skills lie. You've shown all season that you can do that. Just choose those right ones and look for the three ball when it's open. It's not just shoot and hope for the best.
Well, they're going to have to do exactly that because every game is must win now for Boston. So,
yeah, but we've excelled at those so far this year.
Well, the good news is, you know, as we're well, not just as we record, the time won't change. Uh-huh. Game six is on Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Australian time. Whatever, what do we call it? That. Australian Eastern Standard Time, yeah, that's
one of them. Yep.
In Brisbane, it will be 11 a.m. tip off. Mm-hmm. So game six is on Friday. There, that's obviously in Boston. Obviously, Mal, you're going to tip your lads to win the next two. I just think,
look, geez, mate,
to beat the Warriors twice in a row in the finals, that's a tough ask. And it's just like I grew accustomed to not betting against LeBron. I really have a tough time betting against Steph Curry to lose two straight games in the finals.
Well, it is going to be tough. I am backing Boston. You know me. I always put that asterisk on it. It's my team.
Yeah, you got to.
I'll always back them.
I picked them to win the whole thing before the conference finals, I believe, as well. So, yeah.
You know, look, I'll always back them. But, yes, it is going to be tough. You know, because we've seen flashes of almost everybody except Draymond in this series. Mm. You know, Klay Thompson for stretches in that game five was Klay Thompson again. You know,
not you got game six Klay coming now, so watch out.
Yeah. I think we need to be more worried about game six Curry.
Yeah, Chef had a night off.
Yeah, and he's not likely to do that twice.
No. Who knows? Maybe the Warriors want to win it game seven at home. They might give you a nice little gentlemanly game six W here.
Yeah, remember how that went in a certain Cavs series? That didn't go so well, did it?
Yeah, no. As long as Draymond needs to keep himself in check and they'll be fine.
I do love how history changes though. Like, you know, back then in that series, was it someone paid $80,000 for two courtside seats and it was a mind blow. And now this season, this final series, is that's what, was it one seat was almost at the start of the final series. So, yeah, look, things get more expensive over time. But, you know, I would love for Boston to do a Cleveland in that situation and get it done from behind. That's what I'm tipping, but it's going to be tough, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're going to need some special from Tatum and Brown, and the role players are going to need to step up because, you know, this veteran Warriors team has now had 3 days rest by this game. They're going to be coming in wanting to get the job done, not have to play game seven. There's championship pedigree there. So, look, the Boston's just going to have to ride the crowd and make sure everyone shows up. But
well, there's one. I mean, we all want game seven here. So
we all want game seven. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, whether you're a neutral fan or not,
we live for game sevens, baby.
We love it. Live for games. We love it. So look, for that reason, I'll tip Boston. But oh, geez, it's a tough ask. All right. Well, that's a wrap on the NBA finals as it stands. The series will be wrapped up by the time we record next, so we will have a champion, and we'll be able to discuss who that is, how it all happened.
Al Horford, that's how.
Well, yeah, obviously we'll chat finals MVP, who was robbed, you know, should Wiggins have got it? Should Peyton Pritchard have got it? Definitely not. But
at this point, if it's a Warriors win, there's only one.
Yeah, there can only be one. I mean, Wiggins would have to be 40-point triple-doubles for the next two games to even get a consideration.
You'd have to score all of Warriors' points, just all of them.
I think it's just, well, you know, Steph should already have one finals MVP, so no matter what, if Warriors win, we're giving it to him. So that's the last thing remaining on his resume.
If Iggy gets this one off after playing like 22 minutes, I swear to God.
Well, LeBron hasn't scored a point in these finals, so Iggy's done it again.
No, Iggy's done it for the first time. He didn't do it last time.
No, no. Yes, well, don't get me started on that. Jeez. All right, but we'll be here to wrap that up. We do have Max McKinnon joining us right now. He's calling in, so we better jump on the phone, have a quick yarn, and we'll chat some NBL 1 North afterwards. Alrighty, Ball Don't Lie Australia listeners, another special guest for you this week. Joining us is Brisbane Bullets and Brisbane Capitals NBL 1 North star, Max McKinnon. Really excited to have you on the show, Max, and we thank you for your time this week.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Oh, good, mate. All right, let's jump in. We always start with, you know, junior clubs and shout-outs. And is there any sort of special mentions of particular people along the way? Because, you know, nobody gets to where, you know, where you are without, you know, getting help from, you know, different places. Is there anyone who's the junior club and who are those names that sort of jump out at you?
I grew up as a Caps junior. So I played there since I was bottom age, under 12. So now I don't know when I was like seven, eight years old. I started playing there, and like the Rob Woods, like Henry Marnie, Pat McInerney, who are all involved in the QSL programs. Yeah, just a big shout out to Gregory Terrace, who went to from grade 7 to 11. Matt Hamilton Smith, he's a really big mentor and coach to me. He helped me out a lot, not only on the basketball court but off the court with my school, and is a big reason why I'm going to college. And he's helped me out a lot. So big shout out to Matt Hamilton Smith, and yeah.
Nice. As always, there's always a group of people behind basketball. It's one of the cool things about our game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and look, Max, obviously you've got a bit of basketball blood there, which we're not going to dive too deep into on this show. Everyone's well aware, but were there any other factors that led to developing your love for the game of basketball, or was it purely, you know, just growing up watching dad, or what developed your love of the game?
I think I grew up around it. Mum and dad played, and I just grew right into it. I played a bit of footy and basketball, and then it kind of came down to the decision of what I was going to do, and I chose basketball, and it's doing well, hopefully, right now. So, that's I kind of just grew up around basketball and watching, my parents play.
Yeah, perfect. And it is doing you well, mate. So well that you've just spent your first year in the NBL as a DP for the Bullets. Can you tell us a bit about that experience there and what you gained from it?
Yeah, it was a really big learning experience for me, I think. Coming in as a young kid, I grew up watching, you know, the Jason Kidd's, Sobes, Lamar, and it was a pretty big shock, you know. My first couple of weeks, I struggled, you know. It was playing against men. I grew up playing against kids my age, and it was definitely a big difference. And as the year went on, I kind of learned and tried to use my smarts and watched LP and Sarabs and Jason always was asking for tips and advice of how can I get off this on ball screen? What can I do? How can I make an impact off the ball? Like, all I was learning a lot, and just learning how to be a pro and watching my body, watch what I was eating, and just kind of those little things as the year went on. And now I'm starting to hopefully try and piece it all together, and it was a really big learning experience, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, a couple more questions about that before we discuss you piecing it all together, which we're watching every week at the moment. You talk a bit about picking brains and watching other people play. Were there any specific vets or even just other players on the Bullets that really took you under their wing this season?
I think Jason Kitty, I roomed with him towards the end of the season, and I think I grew up watching him, you know, in the QBL and QSL. I played with him when I was 15, 16, and I just learned a lot. He's took me under his wing, and I learned, and I'm still trying to ask him, and for advice and help and whatever I need, like no matter what, it's on the basketball court or off the court. He helps me out a lot, and just learn off the Jace and Anthony Drimmick, like trying to become a two-way player and learning how Drim like gets through on ball screens and just watching him a lot. I watch a lot of Jace and Soves and Drimmick and just how they impact the game on both ends of the floor.
You're not ever gonna you want to join his NBL One club though, are you?
No. Awesome. No cool. Chance.
Beautiful.
Not even after the weekend.
Nah.
Damn, Jace, no those threes.
No way. Perfect. Never going to Gold Coast.
Awesome. All right, well, heading back to the Caps this NBL One season, you've just been on fire of late. You've had 27, 29, and against the Rollers, a 28 across the last three games. You know, across the season, you're averaging 19 and 6. What do you feel are some of your biggest strengths when you're on the court? What, you know, when you've got the ball, what do you feel is that just core strength that, you know, not, someone else can't stop you? Like, I've got this. This is my bit. I can do this. You have to stop me.
I think just getting downhill and pushing a break and using my speed and my quickness. I think that's something I feel like I'm getting better at, and coming off on balls, making plays, and whether that be like coming off on ball screens, and making plays. And yeah, I feel like I'm trying to become more of a two-way player and get in the lanes. On Andrea has been really helping me, and Jordan Mullen and all the boys have been supporting me. And I think just, yeah, those are kind of my key factors right now. I want to work on my shooting and my ball handling. I feel like I can be a taller guard. If I work on that, I can more of my game will open up. But just, yeah, getting downhill and getting on the ring.
Nice. Overall, in general, you know, we've been watching, you know, you across the last, you know, we saw you a little bit for the Caps last season, and then we've seen you this year. You've made some pretty big strides, let's be honest. But how have you found the NBL One North competition? So you got a little taste last year, and now you're getting, you know, proper go at it this year. How are you finding the competition as a whole?
It's really good. Like, we got, you know, there's no easy games, you know what I mean? I feel like every, like this past weekend, we got Sunny Coast Phoenix and then the Rollers, like they're all really tough teams, got NBL guys in it, past NBL guys. So it's a really good league. And
all right. And of course, got another doubleheader this weekend coming up. Any early scouts there, or are we looking for some big point explosions from you again?
No, I think just let the game come to me and watch, you know, we played Spartans a couple of weeks ago and now they got a couple of more imports coming in. And we got practice tomorrow night and Andre will run through the scout then. And yeah, I think two games we can get this weekend, but just need to close out those fourth quarters. But yeah.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, though, news has come to light as recent that we're not going to have you here too much longer, which is very unfortunate for the Capitals, but fantastic for your career, obviously. So you're off to join Elon University in the Carolina region, I believe that is.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Yeah, so first up, let's go with how did that decision come about? Because I'm sure you had multiple offers, and how did you nail that one down and say that's where I want to go?
Yeah, I think after the NBL season and going into the NBL One season, I felt like college is the best option for me. Just getting a degree and opportunity to play and having a whole different lifestyle, living over in the States, I think be a really good learning experience for me. And I spoke to guys like Serbs and Drim, and they suggested it and they all loved it. Like even Jack Salt, who went to Virginia and won a national championship. Mm. I think all those guys highly recommended it. And I think I'm really looking forward to it. And it, yeah.
Awesome. And it's pretty interesting and exciting sort of area that your college is, being a Div 1 school as well. I mean, you know, you've got the University of North Carolina there and the prospect of playing Duke and fellow Aussie Tyrese Proctor. So that's obviously something you're going to be looking forward to that you could speak about, as well as, is there anything else apart from that, like any other school that you really want to play against or any specific experience you're looking forward to in the States?
Yeah, I think that we are, North Carolina is in our conference, and Duke, obviously, it's nearly 30 minutes to an hour away from Elon, and they'll be in our non-conference schedule. So just an opportunity to play against those big-time schools, and really looking forward to that. And it'll be really cool because obviously grew up watching, you know, the North Carolina Duke games, and it'll be really special to, you know, be on that court.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and if you get a chance to experience those Cameron crazies at Duke.
Pointing
and Duke fan. So look, I'll be a bit don't know which team to root for in that one, but I think we'll stay with you, mate.
Easy peasy, not Duke in that situation.
I'll go against Duke for that one.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, look, we appreciate the quick check-in. And you're doing a great job in the NBL 1 right now. We love watching you play whilst you're here. And looking forward to the doubleheader coming up this weekend that everyone can catch live on the NBL 1 app. Before you go, though, we do like to finish off our interviews with a few more, just some fun, quick-fire questions if you've got a few more minutes.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Perfect.
All righty. Well, we start off with the easiest one that's not really all that easy. Who would be your own personal top five of all-time players from any league, any time, anywhere?
Is this all like okay, all right. LeBron, Steph Curry, MJ. Actually, no, Curry at the one, Jordan at the two, LeBron at the three, Katie at the four, and Shaq at the five.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough team.
All right, favorite jersey number and why?
I feel like number nine, I started wearing it. It was my first, you know, this year I wore it at the Bullets, and I feel like I'm just going to keep that number, hopefully, see if I get it at Elon. I don't know if I'll get it as a freshman, but we'll see. But, yeah, number nine.
Might have to pay someone for it.
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, Rocky. Rocky 4.
Rocky 4. All right. Yeah. So you head off to Elon. Things go really well. You get into the NBA. Next thing you know, all sorts of things happen, and they're making a movie about you. Who do you choose to play Max McKinnon?
Oh, like an actor?
Yep, actor or
doesn't have to
whoever you like though.
Let's go The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I don't know.
Not
the first person to go with The Rock. I like it as a choice.
Yeah.
All right. What are the best on-court kicks of all time?
Oh.
You don't have to have worn them.
Kobe 5. The Bruce Lee ones. I the Bruce Lee ones.
Yes.
Yeah, big fan of Kobe's. Excellent. I don't got the money to buy them, but big fan of the Kobe's.
You will after Elon in the movie that Mel was talking about.
hopefully.
Dwayne Johnson might be expensive though.
Yeah, but people are going to see that movie. All right. If you could sit courtside for any game ever to watch, what game would you choose?
Ooh.
Could be a personal one, NBA, NBL, Olympic level, whatever you like.
The game 7 of the Cavs vs Warriors where Curry hit that shot. I feel like that would have been pretty cool to see LeBron win that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cleveland, this is for you. All right. All right. We have just one last question before you take off.
Yeah.
This one comes with a caveat though. So you kind of have to help us with your answer here if it's hard to get. That'll make sense in a second. So your final question, Max, is who do you think Mel and I should have on the show next? And that's where we need to recruit your help.
Jordan Papakostas, 99.95, smart kid.
G-Pap,
that's my guy.
Was that, so, what was that ATAR score you just put out there?
Yeah, he had the best ATAR score in Queensland.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yep. As a high school teacher, I appreciate that. And now know that he's 1,000 times smarter than me.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that'd be great to have him on the show. Another cap.
Yeah.
Collecting them like Infinity Stones, Mel. Love that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Max, look, we'll let you go, mate. We really appreciate you dropping in. I'm looking forward to calling your game against the Spartans on the weekend. Of course, you have another game against Red City as well. So good luck in those games, and we'll check in very soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No worries at all. All right, a huge thank you to Max McKinnon there. Really
future
great
superstar.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. We've got a few of those at the Caps.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to be coming right back home here to Queensland, the NBL, and Northern Territory, I should add, sorry. The NBL 1 North. We'll go through our Caps games, not in huge depth, but we like to cover the team that we cover. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a look at some big stats across the round that was of round 7 here. So we'll start off with the Caps women, Mel. So both Capitals teams had the double Coast games this weekend. We were away to Sunshine Coast and then at home to Gold Coast. So the women, how'd they go up the coast?
Up the coast, they had an absolute corker of a game.
Oh, hey, that'll make people laugh soon.
Yep. As we had Bronte Cork with, there you go, 27 points. Look, this one was, this one was a strong, dominant performance from our women. They came out aggressive, did it all done, and got it to the point where both coaches in the last minute or so just emptied their benches and, let those hard workers down the end of the bench just, have a run, get a feel. It was well and truly over. But towards the end there, by about halfway through that fourth quarter, she was done on the back of just flat-out solid basketball. One thing I did like was Steph Collins stepping up to that elbow space, and then there was a couple of times where she'd turn and dump off a pass to Anna Cameron cutting to the basket, which was just a really nice look. It, drew in the defenders and then quick dump off. Really nice.
Awesome. And then, of course, coming home, game we covered or broadcasted live was against the Gold Coast, and this was so exciting. This was a great game. The crowd got into it. We did give the Gold Coast crowd a shout-out on the broadcast. We'll do it again here because there was a lot of them in the stadium for the women and the men's game. So Caps went down big early, 21 points early second quarter. The deficit was
easily could have been game right there.
Yeah, not for this Caps team though, because we say it all the time, they drag teams into the mud and they just grit and grind their way through it. Cabillo, has been an absolute nothing short of a superstar all season. Had a very tough first half. Obviously, it was top of the scouting chart for Gold Coast. They were targeting Cabillo, double teaming, doing anything they could to keep the ball out of her hands. And they did a great job of it. But in the second half, Cabillo, along with the rest of the team, of course, just found a way to just keep knocking away at this lead. It didn't happen quickly.
No.
But they just kept tapping away, chipping that lead down. And look, pull out the 5-point win late in the fourth quarter there, just through swarming defense, through some, great changes of offensive style, getting the ball into the hands of the players that needed it. And We have Cabillo finishing as a leading scorer, funnily enough, with 19 points. And shout out to Anna Cameron as well. The double-double machine does it again.
Mm-hmm.
12 points, 13 rebounds. You know, just that undersized big that just gets it done down there. So consistent as well.
Definitely. And I did love the fact that Cabillo, points-wise, wasn't having such a great game.
Mm.
And then just that little heater run where she just bang, bang.
Two threes bang. And an and one?
Yeah.
Something like
9
that.
9-point run in under what felt like under 30 seconds. And just, you know, right when the team needed it. Crowd obviously got involved. Just one of those really, really great, you know, cometh the moment, cometh the woman sort of moments.
So. Absolutely. So another two dubs for the women there. Great weekend for them. The men, not so much luck.
No, not so much, not so much. Look, they it was similar to the when the Gold Coast Rollers came in that first game when they were off with the Sunshine Coast Phoenix. Like, Caps had a good, solid early lead. It felt good. It felt comfortable. You know, things were going okay. And then, yeah, the Phoenix just flipped the script on us and slowly chewed into it bit by bit by bit. And, yeah, that was just a couple of not great turnovers and fast transition baskets that happened. But this was also the second game after losing Stoddy. And, you know, they just looked a little bit not sure of who to pass it to in certain moments, you know. Whereas previously, you know, Stoddy would be there for that pass or, you know, find his way to be open or, you know, something like that. There was a few moments where they just got caught out. Good defense was played. And but the standout moment from a Caps point of view was, you know, my guy, Anthony Kopsikas, drives in, goes past the basket, feels where it is, thinks he knows where it is, but he's about a meter away, looking in the opposite direction, flicks it back over his head, gets fouled, points go in, makes the 3-point play at the line. Mm. The reverse hook shot whilst not being able to see, you know, that's going to be a tough little moment to beat in that game. And, yeah, there wasn't a Caps moment that beat that for me.
Perfect. And then, of course, we covered the next game against the Gold Coast Rollers. You know, up there with, you know, one of the favourites to win the whole thing. Mm. Only dropped the one game all season so far. And, look, you look at the box score if you weren't watching the game and the Caps lose by 11, but it was really, I would say, a two-possession game right down to that final minute. And then the free-throw game happened and, you know, the lead went out a little bit. But, you know, whilst it's disappointing to lose two games here, there's a lot to take away from that the Gold Coast game. And the Caps played a great game, you know. Another big game for Max MacKinnon, as we mentioned in the interview, 28 points in this one. After 29 up the coast. So, you know, he was their go-to scorer. You know, every player sort of contributed in their own ways, whether it was a few timely threes, some defensive stops, especially the work our guy you were just mentioning, Ankovskis, the work he was doing on Kadee. After Kadee went on an he went nuclear in the first half. And then it was the Krebs show after that, and Krebs got himself a 30-piece, and there really just wasn't an answer for his size and speed and, you know, his ability to create his own shot, get to the bucket. You know, Kadee and Krebs just put on a show, and for the Caps to be right there, right to the end, shows just how together this group is. And there's a lot of positives to take away from it, in my opinion.
There definitely was. I'm glad you mentioned the Ant Kopsikas and Kadee bits because they looked like they were, it was just back and forward for it was about six plays in a row. It just looked like it was back and forth. One would best the other. You know, Kopskis would have a great run on D. It was blocked him at one point. You know, then there was a, you know, just a, there was one point where there was just a veteran play by Kadee, which then drew the foul, and it was, you know, it was a really great, it was a fantastic little snippet of the game that wasn't necessarily with the ball. It was with the ball. It was off the ball. It was, you know, that was one of the, you know, actually, you know, I should have mentioned it earlier, sorry, with the NBA, you know, that I found them just zooming in on one particular player in that game five, which I thought was really awful because the basketball is played across the whole court, not just, you know, the guy with the ball. And that's what that matchup showed to me because it wasn't just when one of them had the ball. It was all over the court, and that's what was really cool about it. But, Gold Coast just got it done. Unfortunately, you know, Caps, we were in it, and the game went backwards and forwards, and we kept fighting back, but we just couldn't get it over the line. And Kadee from Kadeep, you know, what can you do? What can you do?
As we found out, not a lot, because a lot of those shots were either heavily contested or car park area. And it just didn't matter. When Kadee gets cooking, there's no stopping him in the State League, or even in the NBL, let alone State League. So great performance from them. We'll whip around the league now. A few games have stood out. We had Jan and Otto, who just featured on the In the North podcast this week. So you can listen to that through Basketball Queensland, of course. 29 points and 12 for Rocky in a win versus Gold Coast. So poor Gold Coast there, dropped the two games this weekend. But great performance there from Otto.
Yeah.
Playing alongside good friend of the show, Lara McSpadden.
Poor rollers, you know. Really, really trying to get something going, but I think that's eight in a row now they've dipped. And, And some of those games they've been in early, they just haven't been able to, you know, stick with some of these other teams. But anyway, we've got Mila Goodchild on 32 points, six just from 10 from deep from Mackay Wynn over the Ipswich Force. Having yourself a game there. Been a little bit up and down, but yeah, in that game was not down at all.
Yep. And yeah, just coming back from her time at Duke there, you know, big college system, and putting up those sorts of numbers in the NBL on North is great for her. Kayla George, a name we've heard on the show a lot, and another name that we have and will continue hearing on this show a lot, Michaela Roof. They went head-to-head this weekend. Logan defeated Cairns pretty handily, though, which was a bit surprising to me. You know, Logan sort of seemed to take care of business here. Roof had 25 and 22, Kayla with 21 and 17. So almost matchy-matchies there.
They almost sound like lawn bowl scores or something like that. Like it doesn't actually feel like...
It sounds like my shot attempts.
definitely not across points. Two games.
Yeah. That's it. Definitely not makes or rebounds, that's for sure. But, you know, just seeing two players of that caliber go head-to-head, it's pretty exciting basketball. So we love that. And, look, if that wasn't enough for Rufy, comes out against Townsville and drops 37 and 15.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe showing out, you know, that's where she's heading for WNBL. She's up against her, you know, future teammates. Reed and Woods there, you know, combined for nearly 50 points together yet again themselves. But, yeah, Roof just showed out in this one yet again, averaging 22 points and 18 rebounds on an undefeated Logan team right now. So, I mean, front runner for MVP? I know there's some good players out there. We're about to mention another one.
About to mention another one, but, you know.
Steph Reid, of course, as well, week in, week out.
Yeah, you've got to think hands down NBL one first team.
Mm.
But, yeah, making a case for MVP. Making a case. All right. Who's the other one? We're about to mention her.
Yeah. We've done it several times. We've already mentioned her on this show in our free agency segment, but Tiana Mangekahia for the Northside Wizards yet again. Mm-hmm. We're trying not to bring her up every week, but she keeps performing at an absolute elite level. And not just the 40 piece that she gave the Pirates, but six steals as well. And that's something we've mentioned on the pod before. With that backcourt at the Wizards is they're so pesky and they're forcing turnovers. Even if they don't get credited for the steals, they're forcing bad passes and turnovers. But the six steals to go along with the 40 piece, geez, that's a heck of a performance. So definitely worth bringing up on the show here.
Definitely. One thing we need to look at, just circling back to Roof, averaging 22 and 18 on an undefeated Logan team.
Mm.
22 and 18. Just give that a minute to sink in. That is an immensely high clip.
Oh, it's wild.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
And, I mean, obviously showing out against last year's MVP, Kayla George, is not going to do her case any harm either. So
not at all. Not at all.
All right. Men's side of things.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Kadee in the building taking apart, not taking part, I should say, but, you know, hitting some big, big shots against the Caps. He actually had a massive game against Rocky as well, Mel.
Mm, yeah, 32, 10, and 10.
Oh, have we got that button yet?
Hang on, let me do triple, double alert. There you go.
Yep. We'll get on that. We'll get on that.
Yep. You probably won't use that soundbite either, so don't.
So Kadee had himself a nice weekend, as expected, as it's just what he does in, you know, whenever he puts on a basketball jersey. So fantastic stuff. Next one is a good friend of the show, Mal.
Yes.
Had a haul of steals.
He did. Isaac White, of course, 24, 9, and 8 steals in a win for the Ipswich Force over Mackay. So, yeah, just absolutely balling at the moment. And he was actually at the Caps game as well against the Rollers.
Yeah, great to catch up and say hello. And
yep,
very talented and just a great guy. So, 8 steals. His opponents might not think he's such a good guy. But we do.
And that's, they might think he's a flat-out thief. So, you know.
He's a good guy at us, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. Out supporting his Illawarra Hawks teammate there in Lockie Dent, of course, at the Caps game on Saturday night.
All right, for the Wizards, Luol Deng, 28 points and 19 rebounds. Missed out on that no dunks, big beef by one. So
close.
Couldn't send it into the podcast over there, unfortunately. One more rebound this weekend and we might see if we can get you a mention, mate. But
come on, buddy.
Lastly, for the men there, Jack McVay had his first game for North Gold Coast there. 20, 13, and 7. I mean, look, that's pretty well-rounded. He's just come off a long NBL season, finals series, of course, and contributing straight away. So that's going to be welcomed from North Gold Coast. And to get the win over Rocky, it's a good way to start.
Definitely is. And look, you know, Rocky's got a pretty solid little team this year. You know? They've gone out and put something together. So unfortunately, though, for Rocky, 2 losses this round, you know, on their road trip. So
yep.
Unfortunate, but that's part of basketball.
All right, well, I'm just looking at the ladder here, Mal. I know we said we're not going to jump into it straight away at the start of the season, but we're well and truly in now. And look, on the women's side of things, Logan Thunder yet to lose. Spartans, Townsville, and Northside all have dropped one game each. And then just the tier below that, Brisbane Capitals, North Gold Coast, and Cairns all have three losses. So, of course, on the NBL One website, you can look up the whole ladder if you want. We're not going to go through every single position, but that's where the top teams stand at the moment. And on the men's side of things, not really going to come as a big shock to people, I guess, if you're keeping up with the league there. But as we mentioned earlier, Gold Coast just with the one loss, they're sitting pretty at the top there. After that, we have pretty... It's really tight, really. Two or three losses for Mackay, Rip City, Wizards, Darwin, the Sunshine Coast Phoenix, and the Logan Thunder. So this men's league is wide open, and whilst, you know, a team might get down that they lose a couple games in a row, as you can see or hear, that ladder is so tight. One doubleheader weekend can jump you up 3-4 places or down. So, yeah.
It can. And Gold Coast Rollers, after losing, looks like they've lost LP for the season, have signed one DJ Mitchell.
Oof.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so that's the new Bullets player we mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah.
That, you know, we were hyping up. Yeah. Can't wait to see what he's got. But we're not going to have to wait.
No. Classic Kadee just swoops in.
But that's going to be exciting stuff for them. And, you know, a good way for DJ to get accustomed to playing with Kadee and Krebs leading up to the NBL season.
Yeah, well, it'll only help the Bullets, let's be honest. So, you know, but it may not help many teams in the NBL One, though, unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's a wrap as we round out round seven there. Round eight is coming up this weekend. Very important round to both of us here on the show. It is the NBL One North mental health round. So, any broadcast you watch, likely it'll be a trending theme and topic throughout the broadcast. We'll be, you know, bring up a few things on there, some statistics and other helpful information. So the game that we'll be covering and broadcasting will be Capitals versus Spartans on Saturday night. Women tip off at 5 p.m. Men are at 7 p.m. So if you can't be there at the game, which we highly recommend you do, it's great fun, please tune in on the NBL One website or the app, and you can hear more from us and lots about, you know, the good causes and things going on with all things mental health now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we love getting involved in, you know, this is one of our favourite causes to get involved with because it's touched both of us. And, you know, it's great that the NBL One have brought it back again because it's a big deal. It affects a lot of people and, it affects a lot of people and to the point where they don't feel comfortable about talking about it, and that's one of the biggest tragedies.
For sure. And then, of course, our Capitals, for Cass fans out there, away at Red City on Sunday. Women tip off at 1 p.m., men are at 3 p.m. But we will be back next week to wrap up round eight of the NBL One North. So hopefully we look forward to you joining us for that. Now, before we wrap up our first episode back here in the new digs, got our first crack'em email.
We do. Well, we got our first crack'em, and I got my hands on a pack of Luka Doncic, Don Russ, 21, 20, 22 cards.
Ooh.
Took a while, but we got our pack on got our hands on a pack of, you know, current season cards just while there's just a scooch of current season left. Just made it in time.
So Mel, I know you have 10,000 ways of doing crack'em. Are we just doing a regular one this time? I'm just gonna guess.
Just gonna keep it classic, mate. Keep it classic, you know, keep it simples.
All good.
You know, give the people what they want.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. All right. First card.
Jamarant.
So for those new to it, I read the back of the card, and you know why. If you're listening in, please do try and play along. Try and guess who the player is. I'll obviously try and omit the names every now and again. I, you know, make a little bit of a furphy on that front and give away one of the first or last names, which makes it a lot easier. But Dan will be trying to guess, and I hide the cards from him, and he only has the information on the back of the card.
If you beat me to some, let me know, because some people have in the past, and I don't know. I might call them out one day. let me know.
All right. This player tears apart the game's best defenses nightly, manipulating opponents in the pick and roll and creating easy shots for himself and others during – I can't really give you the team because it'll dead set give
Chris
away.
Chris Paul.
During a one-point victory over Washington on May 1st, the floor general went ballistic, becoming the fourth player in NBA history to notch a 30-point, 20-assist triple-double.
Have to be Luka.
It is indeed.
Wow, we have Luka in a Luka pack.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh. All right. You better get this one.
Ja Morant.
Top-tier playmaking directly leads to wins.
Ja Morant.
In 2021, the Jazz went undefeated.
Oh, yes. All-star. Oh, sorry. Past all-star.
Past
all-star.
Backup replacement all-star.
My guy, Mike Conley.
It is indeed.
If anyone says you beat me to that, I'm calling you a flat-out liar.
Well, you know.
Or just smarter than me. Either way.
That's possible. All right. Adapt at lighting up the scoreboard himself. Somebody let his teammates shine on May 3rd, 2021. The playmaker dished out a season-high 10 assists and chipped in 16 of his own points.
Did that just say playmaker and season-high 10 assists in the same sentence?
Yeah, you caught that. Well done. To help the Magic down Detroit, it was the first of three.
It's going to be Jalen Suggs.
Double-doubles he recorded during his rookie campaign.
Oh, and it's not Jalen Suggs. Oh, RJ Hampton?
There you go.
There we go.
There you go.
We've had him previously, I believe.
I believe.
Another card pack.
All right. After bouncing around a few organizations, this player found a new home in Utah. This team is just amazing. How we bonded together, he said. This organization, this team definitely has a different feel.
Ooh.
In 2021 season,
Mr.
he averaged a career best 18.4 points to help his squad achieve the league's best record.
Player that bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Clarkson?
That's the one.
Huh. Interesting.
That's the one.
Bounced around. Didn't he? So is it the Lakers?
Yep.
And then where did he? Must have gone somewhere before Utah. I thought he just went. Anyway.
It doesn't help on the card. It all says it's Jazz.
I must be forgetting a place. Anyway. Who cares?
All right. Whether he rolls to the rim or pops out to the three-point line afterward, somebody setting a screen is a critical piece of Cleveland's offense. The forward has been among the best in the league in that role for more
Kevin
than...
Kevin Love.
There you go.
I was singing him or Evan Mobley. Couldn't quite decide.
Oh, hello. True or false? I'll give you the team. Orlando Magic. True or false? Dennis Scott and Shaquille O'Neal are the only Magic players to score at least 37 points as a rookie.
False.
That was true. Until May 16, 2021, when somebody made it false. Facing Philadelphia, the guard added his name to the list with a 37.8 assist outing.
Maxi.
It's not Woolworths.
Did you say Philly?
Magic.
Oh, Cole Anthony.
There you go. You got there.
Jordan Clarkson did place for Cleveland, is involved in the trade. Larry Nance heading that way as well. Yeah, forgot about that one. I wouldn't say bounced around.
No.
Three teams, but anyway. No.
All right. You might like this one. Thriving in the paint in 2021, somebody set career highs with 17.1 points, 12.5 rebounds, and 49 double-doubles. The boards and the double-doubles both ranked third in the league. The big man produced at least 20 points and 20 caroms in a game three times.
Gobert.
Which tied for first in the league. Not Gobert.
Gobert, Towns, Embiid. Am I getting warmer here?
I'll give you a hint. The card says Pelicans. But the jersey says...
Oh, AD.
Grizzlies.
Oh, Aquamane. Aquamane. Stevie. Or is it Jonas?
It's Jonas, yeah.
What did you say? The card says...
The card says Pelicans.
Oh, but gotcha.
The photo. Damn. Grizzlies.
All right. Gotcha, gotcha. I was thinking the other way around in my head.
No.
I was thinking, I don't think Stephen Adams had many 20-point games, but sure, why not? Yeah, Jonas makes sense. Yeah, big V, JV, all good.
All right.
Someone definitely beat me to that one.
Yes. All right. Second last one, setting a personal postseason high. Somebody lit up Atlanta for 33 points in Game 5 of the 2021 Eastern Conference Finals.
Embiid.
The Bucks won that contest.
They knocked out the...
And the next one to advance to
Was
the
that
NBA
Drew
Finals.
Holiday? Or was that the Middleton...
There, the big man averaged 11.5 points and 5.3 rebounds versus Phoenix to help Milwaukee capture its first championship in 50
years. Well, it's got to be Lopez or Portis.
Lopez. The big man was the big clue. The big man there.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him fully back integrated next season. Of course, missed him for this season, but yeah, he'll be back.
All right, this
Jeez,
player.
I struggled with these last two. I got to hopefully finish off well here.
Oh, come on. You got to finish strong with this one. All right, this player blazes a trail straight to the basket. Yep. And there aren't many defenders who can slow his roll.
Dame, CJ.
Opposing point guards often just proved to be a speed bump along the way.
Oh, so it's not a Portland player.
Maybe causing the Philly playmaker to shift gears or swerve, but not halting his ultimate progress toward a layup or dunk.
Not Maxi.
The card says 76ers. The photo says 76ers. But he is no longer there. He has been traded. After refusing to turn up.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. It says guard. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Fair enough. Big guard. Yeah, it's obviously Ben Simmons, but yeah, interesting. I think the guard there threw me off, but fair.
Yeah.
Nice little pack there, Mel.
Not bad.
Did we have a fancy card in there?
We did not. Well, we did, sorry. We did. We had a Great Expectations card.
Who's on it?
Everybody. Actually, we had a couple. We had a Mike Conley shiny, which I think you'll like. Look at that one.
Oh, that could go next to my signed Mike Conley card at home.
And then we have a Luka Doncic complete players card, which, yeah, look, you know.
Ooh, it's a nice little pack there, man.
Nice little pack. Couple of specials. Spend a little bit more on that one.
You got to treat yourself sometimes.
Yeah, every now and again. Just go treat yourself.
All right, well, first crack 'em in the new studio, all done and dusted. One other first thing we need to do is Mel's machinations before we get out of here.
Yes, I do. Now this one.
You sound like you've been sitting on this for 2 weeks.
This one, it's for both men and women. Over the weekend I was, you know.
Not a guy girl thing.
No, just at the shops. And
sorry, I've seen Moana like way too many times in the last few weeks.
You're welcome. Just flat out, people just acting like absolute flat out Karens lately. You know, men and women. And seriously, have a good look at yourselves. Like,
just chill. We're allowed outside the house now.
Yeah.
No masks. You can do what you want.
Just calm the farm.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all be nice. Be kind.
That shouldn't be play one of your going to the shops playbook is yell at everybody. So, you know, just chill. When you're out of the house, just chill. Relax. No need to go full-blown bunter.
Yeah, it's fair. It's gone from like everyone whinging about being stuck at home to now everyone whinging about how busy everywhere is, and it's like just relax, guys. Life's good. We're out here. We're having fun. We're healthy. Just chill. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't know what to choose kindness. That's my advice for the week.
Yep.
Unfortunately, not everyone does that, but
No.
It's the best way to live. But that is a wrap. Episode 72. We are finished. First episode in the books in the new studio.
Studio 2, baby.
Apologies again for a couple of weeks without the show, but we hope we've brought you back the quality content that, you know, you've been thirsty for. We've had some messages and no nasty ones, of course. Just where's our show?
No Karens. No,
we have very loyal and polite viewers, or listeners, I should say. It'd be a bit weird if you were viewing us, but I guess.
On the broadcast, on the game broadcast. Yeah.
So thanks again for tuning in. It's so good to be back. We hope you can join us next week when we do all this again. So, Mel, I mean, as I said, got the Caps game to tune into. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we'll catch you next week. And just remember, that ball don't lie.
It never does.